You are listening to Sports Day, where you're powered by Red Energy, Cairnsar's most trusted energy retailer, and for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. Sam McClure and Jimmy Bartel with you for the next hour. Andrew Westacott, the chief of the Australian Grand Prix here in Melbourne, is going to join us. So that race now, Jimmy, is going to take place between April 8 and 10 next year, smack bang in the middle of footy season. Has previously before been on the eve of the footy season. I think a couple of times it's shared round one. Now it's going to be, what's that, the best part of a month in?
Yeah, I think people are really keen for it to get back. So it's going to have.
I can't wait for the Grand Prix.
It's going to have a big crowd no matter what. I think we're pretty comfortable with it, aren't we?
Yeah, it just depends on what crowd numbers are going to be next year.
Huge.
That early.
Huge.
No, what the restrictions are going to be.
Jimmy,
it's Victoria.
Yeah, good, good. I like where you're going. You're going to refer to the health advice. Smart.
This is Victoria. Like, just, anything could happen.
That's right. Just refer to the health advice.
Unless it starts affecting polls, right?
Yeah.
And we've also got Dan Brennig on the line from The Age newspaper, cricket writer extraordinaire. Lots happening in cricket, obviously in the build-up to the Ashes, but also Australia clinching a 3-wicket win over New Zealand in their T20 World Cup warm-up in Abu Dhabi. A little earlier this morning, Aaron Finch, the skipper, 24 off 19. Mitch Marsh made 24 off 15. Smith and Stoinis then shared a 48 run, fourth wicket stand. Maxwell, Cummins, Swepson, Hazelwood all didn't play. And I guess one of the biggest stories, Jimmy, is that Dave Warner was out for a golden duck.
Yeah, exactly right. So he struggled in his IPL side, the Sunriser.
Well, he wasn't getting a game.
Well, because he was playing so poorly.
Well, he and Smith weren't getting a game for Ricky Ponting's team.
Well, because he wasn't making any runs. You can't play someone who's not making runs. And then he comes out and...
Well, plenty of good footballers get games when they're not getting the footy.
It's a different game.
It is. Dan Brady joins us. Welcome, Dan.
Good to be with you guys.
What did you make of this morning?
Yeah, it was an interesting one. I think the... you kind of have to look at it knowing that particularly Glenn Maxwell wasn't there. And I think, you know, a lot of the way the Australian batting order is going to shake down kind of revolves around him, particularly given, in contrast to, as you say, Dave Warner and Steve Smith, he was the best batter in the IPL this edition. So he's very much at the other end of the form scale. So, it was interesting. I mean, probably one of the things that that was maybe a little bit on the conservative side from Australia was that they batted Josh Inglis, the new keeper batter in the squad, way down the order after Ashton Agar and after Mitchell Starc, which meant that he had to come in and score the winning runs. So it's going to be very interesting to see whether Australia actually decide to, pull the pin out and pick him in this tournament, or whether they keep persisting with Matthew Wade.
Dan, it's good that you're talking about the batting lineup. Australia has been almost dragged by their heels into T20 format, like the rest of the countries competing, where you pick specialists for the positions. We've almost gone in recent times with the six best openers in our BBL competition. Is this going to be better for us? Because obviously, you mentioned Warner, Finch, Marsh, Smith, Stoinis at the top of the order, and Maxwell's still got to come back in. Do we look more balanced now that we're finally embracing proper format?
Yeah, there's an element of that, and I think there's still a little bit more to go. Sometimes I look at Australia T20 squads and they look to me a little bit like an all-Australian selection, you know, where you've got a bunch of midfielders on the half-forward flank or, you know, playing out of position relative to where they play for their clubs. And I think that's a process that's still going on. You talk about someone like Josh Inglis. He batted four or five for the Perth Scorchers last season with great success. Mitch Marsh actually was also in the middle order for the Scorchers last season, batted a lot with Inglis, but now he finds himself up at number three. That means if he's at number three, well, what are you going to do with Steve Smith? What are you going to do with Marcus Stoinis, who obviously opens for the Melbourne Stars? So there's still a little bit of a give and take to happen there. And another thing, obviously, that they've got to figure out is who's going to come in at six or seven and finish off an innings for them.
So are we still picking Warner with faith and, I guess, history on
his side?
Well,
you couldn't pick him with faith.
Well, this is why we're asking the great Dan. does he get picked on reputation?
Optimism, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he starts the tournament on reputation, absolutely. One of the things that I think probably has got to happen with Dave Warner and Aaron Finch to a similar extent, given that they've batted together for a long time, they're both, you know, much closer to the end of their careers than the beginning, I think they need to really clarify between them, well, who's doing what role here? Who's going to go and who's going to try to bat for a significant portion of the innings? I know over the years they've generally just sort of decided, well, whoever's hitting it best on the day can be the one who takes the more aggressive path. But at the moment, I think there probably is a little bit of a need for better clarity on who's doing exactly what at the top.
And the spinning position, obviously, Ashton Agar, fantastic spinner, off spinner. But are the conditions being set up for leg spin or, you know, throwing the darts in with the off spin?
I think there's a bit of room for both. Adam Zampa was by far the outstanding Australian bowler last night. Took 2 for 17 from his 4 overs and really helped to pull the momentum back from New Zealand when they were going very well and looked like they might have been on track to score anywhere between 180 and 200, and that went down to 158. So there is definitely room for leg spin if it's bowled well. They've obviously, as you mentioned, got Mitch Swepson sitting on the pine as we speak, and he's someone who, in contrast to Adam Zampa, puts a lot of revolutions on the ball. He's going to get a lot of side spin when he plays, but he also might go for a few more runs if someone finds their range against him. So those are some of the things that they've got to weigh up. It's interesting, Ashton Agar. He was Australia's T20 Player of the Year last time they awarded that in the 2019-20 season at the Allan Border Medal Night. But he hasn't quite had as much success in recent times. And the other thing is he often bats at 7 for Australia, but whether the batting position he holds stands up against his record is something else I think they need to consider.
Before we get your sort of expectations of the Aussies in the T20 World Cup, because it's not a strength of ours compared to other nations, we've got to be wary of a couple of powerhouses going at it overnight in Netherlands and Ireland, the traditional rivals in T20 cricket. Curtis Canfer had a double hat-trick, but he started the over with a wide. Well, what would you be doing if captain? He starts with a wide and finishes off the over with a double hat-trick.
Well, I'd be keeping him on for another over if he had one up his sleeve, wouldn't I? That was an extraordinary thing. And really interesting, actually, you know, you talk about, say, the DRS and the fact that it's not in the Big Bash League at the moment. He wouldn't have got that double hat-trick without DRS because two of them were referred. So it can be a very different game, particularly for bowlers appealing for LBW if you don't have that oversight.
Dan, on Finch and Warner, who I feel like are the two biggest stories going into the tournament, is this the last sort of chance for them at this level, do you think? I mean, I know Finch is captain, and you talked about they're not getting any younger. Warner's had a horrid few months in T20 cricket, which has been well documented. If Australia fail in the upcoming World Cup, if they don't get out of the group stage, what's the future like for players like those two?
Well, the obvious thing that Australia have been looking at is that, well, they got two T20 World Cups in 2 years. So that obviously gives them a bit more of a, I suppose you'd say, short-term focus rather than a longer-term one. And that's probably meant that someone like Aaron Finch has remained there firmly as the captain, because it's like, well, he might not be our captain in 3 years' time, but we've got two World Cups in the next two. The other issue that Australia have that I think is linked between the performance of individual players, but also how the team fares, is that right at the moment, they're only seventh in the world in T20 cricket. And if they don't improve that ranking during this tournament, which obviously they will do if they win enough games to go through to the semi-finals, they actually won't qualify automatically for the Super 12 kind of pointy end part of the tournament. And they would have to be playing in those games that you were mentioning before that include Ireland, that include the Netherlands, include other associate nations. If that were to happen, that would also be a bit of a nightmare for Cricket Australia in terms of scheduling and ticketing games, because they'd have no guarantee of where Australia were going to be playing and against who until basically a week before they do it.
And Dan, do you want to give us your starting 11 for the first test of the Ashes?
First test of the Ashes? Oh, that's a long way away. It's a whole World Cup away. I reckon they should be looking at Usman Khawaja back at the top of the order, given that there's still a cloud over Will Pekoski, unfortunately, as he suffered another concussion. From there, you know, Manus Labuschagne, Steve Smith.
Head or Maxwell?
I would think that they'll probably be having to look at Travis Head, just on the basis that Glenn Maxwell hasn't played much field cricket of late, and it's impossible for him to do it now that he's in the white ball squad in the UAE. The other thing you could do potentially is promote Green. Obviously, he batted at 6 last season and looked very much at home, but he could move up to five. He's already shown in the Shield that he can bat for a long period of time. That might then give you the opportunity to, there's been a bit of talk about, well, maybe one of these wicket keepers that's scoring runs all over the place, whether it be Josh Inglis, Alex Carey, or Jimmy Pearson from Queensland, maybe they can slot in at number six for as a batter ahead of Tim Payne. And then the bowlers pretty much select themselves, I would have thought.
Dan, great to have you on. We'll touch base during the tournament.
No worries.
Dan Bredig there from The Age newspaper. So our first game against South Africa on Saturday night. You know, watch?
Yep, I love it. I love cricket. Well, can't get enough of it. It's good.
I love cricket as well, but I can get enough of it.
Yeah, well, that's you. It's not me. But the thing is, Australia's finally trying to embrace an actual batting lineup, similar to how other nations put their sides together for T20. Instead of, as you said, picking almost like an all-Australian squad from our BBL where we have six openers, all the best openers rolling out.
Yep, I agree with that. Our 2021 season reviews, they begin next. We're going to take a look at the Wooden Spooners North Melbourne.